Hope you're having a great Friday. It is Dukes and Bell. Mike is out today. Turtle is in. Chris filling in for Mike down here at State Farm Arena, where the Hawks will take on Charlotte. We're going to talk more about that matchup on the way.
Oh,
caw, caw. Steve Kuhn is going to stop by. Also, you're going to hear from our buddy Brad Guzan. Big match for Atlanta United down there in Miami tonight. So hopefully we can steal one. And if that happens, then you get these guys back here. I say here in the A, back here at Mercedes-Benz on November 2nd.
Should I do Mike's part?
What's that?
He's big. He's bald. He's a mother.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, hopefully they can steal one. But we're going to hear from Brad. He stopped by the show yesterday talking about all things Atlanta United. That's on the way in the 6 o'clock hour. Real quick, I want to hit on this because we were talking about the Falcons. We'll get to the biggest games that you should be paying attention to with Georgia on a bye this week. But D.C. Jimmy Lake said today that they will not change on the defensive scheme. Now, listen, I respect my median brothers. I don't know who asked this question. And maybe it was phrased in a different way, but, like, when you start talking about changing your scheme, what are we going to do? We're going to go to a 6-2 defense, a 3-4? Like, when you start talking about adjustments and scheme, they're two different things. There's no reason to change the scheme. And I'll give you guys an example. Last week, the touchdown before the half was a blown coverage. It was not because of the scheme. Somebody didn't handle their assignment, and therefore it put us in position to be burned, and we got burned with Geno Smith right before the half. But Jimmy Lake says, and this is a quote, "We don't look down and see what the stat sheet says. At the end of the day, we're playing to win football games." And I put out there, Turtle, put them up, C. Dukes. Give everybody your Twitter handle, by the way.
Yeah, at C. Thomas Radio. You know what, Carl? Surprisingly, a couple of rational people hit me up today. Usually it's just off the wall, Turtle, you have no idea what you're talking about. Why are you even on the air?
Those are the tweets I'm familiar
with. Yeah, and today, you know what? You know what we'll call it, Carl? Civil discourse.
Oh, well, that's nice. I mean, they haven't heard your Falcon take yet. So.
Give it another hour?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
But Jimmy Lake said, you know, we don't look at the stat sheet. We're trying to win football games. Bottom line is, guys are hitting me up, and they're like, what do you mean this is silly? Guys, you can only work with what you got.
Yeah, you don't just change your scheme in the middle of the season, Carl.
You can only work with what
it's
you got.
It's a personnel issue.
And, you know, I'm even getting fired, this dude. Fire Jimmy Lake? I mean, come on. You talk about irrational. That's being stupid, all right? And I don't want to talk down to you guys, but, like, that's dumb. Let's be reasonable about where we're at, what's going on. And here's the other part of this. Is it Jimmy Lake's fault that we don't have a dog as a pass rusher on this team? That's not Jimmy Lake. He's going to try to adjust as much as he possibly can. I think we, not maybe this week, but I think as the season goes on, we're going to start to see more blitz packages. But at the end of the day, remember, we don't want to give up explosive plays, and we've done a really good job of that this season, being one of the best teams to not do that. Guys, you give up explosive plays, you're setting teams up for success. So I say all that to say, for everybody's like, oh, Dukes, what the hell are you talking about? You don't change your scheme. You make adjustments. You keep it moving, and you hope guys are locked into their assignments.
Now, Carl, if you give up 35 points to Trey Palmer
Who?
And Sterling Shepard.
Oh, come on.
And
this is ridiculous.
And
Rashad, why are you even bringing White, these guys' names up?
These has-beens.
Bump.
I can understand some of these complaints. But it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So let's pump the brakes on firing a DC with a team that's 3-0 in its division and on pace for a playoff.
I'm glad you said that. All right, let's talk some dogs. No dog game this weekend. And they get a chance to, you know, get some rest, some relaxation. I'm sure Kirby's not relaxing at all.
No, he's telling them, you have not earned this bye.
That's true. And they will get Florida next week. We'll spend a lot of time on it, guys, as we always do with the big cocktail party coming up. But with them being off, there's some games that I'm paying attention to. One of them being Notre Dame and Army. These are two ranked teams. Notre Dame comes in ranked 12th. Navy, that is. Navy is 24th. Army is also ranked. But there's a chance here for a huge upset for Navy. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm watching this game. I love the Illinois-Oregon matchup, 20 versus 1. That's Oregon right now in the rankings. But this LSU-Texas game, Texas A&M, LSU at Texas A&M, guys, is for first place in the SEC. And I repeat, first place. Nobody's talking about it because most of us are so caught up in Alabama and Georgia, and we're going, oh, well, they just beat Texas. These teams are undefeated right now in the SEC. Georgia has a loss to Alabama. Alabama has a loss to Tennessee. Like, these are the lone two that are left. Somebody is going to win this game. It's in College Station on Saturday. And Chris, this to me is one of the big ones, along with Mizzou at Alabama, but Mizzou is banged up.
Yeah, their quarterback is iffy at best, I would say, for this game. We talked about that yesterday. Brady Cook, we know he's the engine that gets that thing going. But Carl, he's here with his family, and he might be here to take over College Station. I might like LSU.
Whoa. Really?
I'm not saying if I'm going to pick it or not.
Okay.
But I may like LSU in this one. Texas A&M's only a one-point favorite at home now.
No, they are. They are. And both of these teams are really close statistically. I think it's going to be a really good game. That's why it's a pick 'em. A&M, let's be honest, at home in that environment, they should at least be a three-point favorite, maybe even four. To say that the odds makers are like, 1 point, I'm with you on this. They know that this could be a close game and should be in the fourth quarter.
And here's the other thing. Nussmeier?
Yeah.
He's having a borderline Heisman. He's throwing for over 2,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, and just six picks. No, but nobody's talking about it. Because you know why? Everybody's talking about how Jalen Milroe and Carson Beck have underperformed.
Yeah, yeah. Milroe, we don't know if he's hurt. The other guy that is having a really good year, and again, I know a lot of you think he's overhyped or that the program is, Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders is playing well. And you know, speaking of nobody talking about it, they are in the mix with the Big 12 right now.
They are.
They went as underdogs last week. They beat Arizona. They've got another, you know, I think their next couple of games, as I've looked at the schedule, for Colorado I'm talking about. Here's the deal. They're going to be bowl eligible, which is a huge plus for where Deion took the, you know, where he's got this program. And then more importantly, if things keep going their way, they may be in the running for the Big 12 championship, which is something I don't think anybody expected for Colorado. With that said, I'm with you on Nussmeier. He's playing really, really well. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about what's going on around college football this weekend. I will say this. It's not a great slate. When you start talking about, you know, like what we just had, I mean, I sat at home last week and was watching game after game. The Florida State-Miami game, no disrespect, Mike, is not going to be interesting.
No.
It's just not. Miami's so much better. Florida State, you know, I'm surprised some of those kids haven't quit already and talked about moving on for the draft. Let's just be honest. They're 1-6, 1-5 in the ACC. So the Penn State game at Wisconsin, maybe that's interesting only because Penn State is 6-0 and everybody says maybe this is going to be their year to win the Big Ten.
Well, Conte will have a vested interest. I don't know if the national viewing public will.
Well, that's the thing. And so you say, all right, I want to see what's going to happen. The Ole Miss, you know, Oklahoma game. Yeah. I'm just maybe not as interested. So from the top 25 standpoint.
Well, because Oklahoma's shot on offense. I mean, they just.
Oh, they're terrible.
What are they going to do?
They're terrible.
By the way, Colorado's remaining games. Cincinnati, like that, they're 6.5-point favorites, but Cincinnati's 5-2 as well.
No, I know.
Texas Tech, they should beat them. Utah without Cam Rising because he's
aren't they always without Cam Rising?
Yeah, Kansas, and then they finish at Oklahoma State. They have a chance to run the table.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And nobody really thought that that was even going to be possible. Remember, I think it was Nebraska they lost to early, right?
They lost to Nebraska 28-10, and then their other losses to a ranked Kansas State team, close one, 31-28.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting for Colorado. But I say that talking about these quarterbacks because if I asked you right now, who's the best quarterback in college football? Hands down, who is it?
You're going to go Dylan Gabriel?
He's played really well. And they're number one. He's played really well. Now, when the season started, we were kind of questioning the Oregon offense. Remember? Because we were like, I think there was just a transition period. But, yeah, I mean, all the guys we thought outside of Shador Sanders, and that's why I'm giving him props, it's not Jalen Milroe. It's not Carson Beck.
Definitely not Carson Beck.
That's kind of where we're at right now. And my point is the Heisman favorite is a running back from Boise State who nobody is saying anything about, and Ashton Gentry, who plays tonight. This kid has already 1,248 yards, 17 touchdowns. This kid is balling out. And to me, he is the front runner when you're talking about the Heisman Trophy. Boys at UNLV tonight. That's going to be a good one as well. All right, we're coming back. Picks of the week coming up. Chris and I are tied at 12-9. Mike and Orin at 10-11. Find out what games we're picking next. Come on, do your head like this. It's Dukes and Bell. A couple of injury updates.
Can you hit that note, by the way?
Which one?
Open my eyes.
No, I don't think I can.
Yeah, it's really high.
Viking standout left tackle Christian
Darrisaw,
is out for the season. Torn ACL, torn MCL. That happened last night. Kevin O'Connell telling the media today, that's a big blow for the Vikings. Also, officially ruled out Micah Parsons for the Cowboy game against the 49ers this weekend. So we'll see what that means for that defense. He's been out for a while now, though. I mean, he missed the Steeler game. It's been a few weeks. And then the Commanders are listing Jayden Daniels as questionable for Sunday's game against the Bears. So lots of injuries going around the league. Knock wood, we seem to be in pretty good shape. Chris, you were updating the Falcons injuries earlier.
Yeah. Got a couple of key ones here for you, Carl. Questionable Antonio Hamilton with a back. Ryan Neuzel is also questionable with a knee. Justin Simmons is doubtful, and he didn't practice today with a hamstring. That means he's probably not going to go.
Yep.
And then Troy Anderson's going to miss another week. But good news, Bergeron was back.
All right, that is good news because we need Bergeron. All right, earlier today I reposted this, and again I said, hell, I don't know if it's good or bad. But the Hawk 2 girl, and I don't even know if that's the correct verbiage as far as talking about her at this point, because she's created a nice vibe for herself, and she's got a podcast, as Turtle was talking about. But she has a new favorite basketball team. So lay this out for me, Turtle. What does she do, and how did this all go down?
So this all started back a couple of months ago when she threw out the first pitch at a Mets game.
Oh, that's right.
And then decided to make her whole social media about the New York Mets, and she had a lot of interaction with Mets fans and with the grimace and the whole thing in the song, oh my God, that they all rallied around, and she became part of their season. Just so happens, Carl Dukes, they made it all the way to the NLCS.
They did.
So she said, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing for the NBA. And she decided to post a big reveal on her social media, and it turns out that none other then your Atlanta Hawks are the team she selected, and she is wearing a Trae Young jersey in this video. So
all right.
She's all in.
Do we want this juice? Do we want this vibe? I mean, does it matter? I said I'll take any exposure that our Hawks can get, and if she's going to bring new people to the party to say, hey, I want to watch the Hawks because the Hawk 2 girl wants to watch the Hawks, then I'm all for it. Oren, do we have the video or the audio in the back there? Can I hear this and how this went down? This is her on this video revealing that the Hawks are the team that she will be all about this season.
Kale, I'm riding with the Atlanta Hawks all season long. And Trae Young, this is my official invite to be my first NBA player on Talk Tua. Let's go, Hawks!
She opens up her was it a sweat, a hoodie?
It's like she's wearing a big oversized jacket, and when she takes it off, she reveals the Trae Young jersey.
What's the podcast called?
Talk Tua.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Well, here's the thing. What are they talking about? Do you know? What
it's just your typical sit down. It's an interview podcast.
All right, but it's not sexual in any way.
Well, I think she tiptoes around some interest. She asked some provocative questions,
okay.
I think.
It's
kind of
because that's how she got her fame, right? I mean, that's how she got put on was question.
Yeah, it was
question.
What's the best way to take care of business?
Yeah.
And that was her response, and everybody loved that response.
Well,
I would love it, too.
You mean men love that response.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of women came out and said they felt liberated to address
it. Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yes. She took the whole internet by storm. It wasn't just men.
So what are you saying? A lot of women agreed with her?
It came out
the process?
Support. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? Whatever. Carl,
okay.
There's a lot of ways to skin a cat. That's all I'll say.
Tell me about it.
There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and that is certainly one of them. But I will just say this.
What's her real name, by the way?
Haley Welch.
Okay. All right.
And she has grown hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. Online after this incident. And I'll just say, I know we don't like the Mets around these parts. Neither do I.
No, but they got a vibe.
But they got a vibe. She was a part of it, and they made the NLCS. So if the Hawks get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe she has a little something to do with
it. I have no issues with this. You guys have any issues with this? I mean, does this mean she's going to come to a game or two?
They're going to have her. I mean, what's the equivalent of throwing out the first pitch at a basketball game?
Okay, so she'll be here at some point.
If Steve Coonan's listening, if you don't get the marketing team on this one ASAP, you're missing out there, buddy boy.
Okay, all right. What do you guys think, man? 404-726-0929. We just thought it was interesting today when that all dropped, and I was like, really? Out of all the teams? So she's got the Trae jersey on. Then, you know, at some point, obviously, she wants to sit down with Trey and talk to him.
So she's essentially her vibe for everyone out there listening. Carl, does your daughter listen to the Call Her Daddy podcast?
That I can't speak to.
Okay, so that's essentially the biggest podcast on the market. It's her and Joe Rogan.
Okay.
So this Haley Welch is now essentially...
Yeah, but that's pretty provocative, isn't it?
Yes, very, very much so.
Okay, all right.
But she is trying to carve out her own lane for, like, the next generation down. Because Alex is the name of the woman that hosts the podcast. She's about, I think she's around probably 10 years younger than, or older than Haley
Welch. So
she's
in her what, mid-late 30s?
So she's in her, like, I think she's around my age, 33, 34.
And the Hawk 2 girl
is she's young. She's like 22, 23.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So she's trying to appeal to the generation down and be that, like, social media symbol like Alex was when she was coming up with Barstool back in the day.
All right, all right. Yeah, and I am familiar with that podcast, but I don't know if
she signed about $150 million deal with Spotify.
Oh, I know. I did see that. And this, her podcast, and we're talking about the Hawk 2 girl. If you're just tuning in, she has endorsed the Hawks, basically saying they're going to be the team. She's going to rep this year and rep Trae Young, and she's got the jersey on and all that. And so we were just discussing what this could mean for our team. Listen, sometimes this stuff is bad luck. Okay, let's be honest. Sometimes you go, okay, I don't need that juju. I don't want that juju. But Turtle is trying to tell you that she did this with the Mets during the baseball season, and they were 10 games out, guys, and ended up making the NLCS. This may be something worth saying, all right, okay, cool. I don't know. At the end of the day, if any celebrity, and I would call her right now a pseudo-celeb, right? She's not,
an internet celebrity.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, she's not at the Rock status. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she's got some pseudo-fame.
But to ages, 11 to 25.
11? What little boys know about the Hawk 2 girl?
Carl? Things have changed since you and I were in the classroom at the delicate ages of 10 and 11 years old.
Take your phone right now from your little boy.
As a guy who has a wife who teaches in middle school, Carl, let me tell you, they know about Haley Welch.
Oh, my goodness.
They know about OnlyFans.
What?
Yeah, you kidding me?
Take these phones right now, people.
By the way, I don't know if you guys saw, as we're doing a little bit of like a guy talk segment here, the world's most famous and profitable OnlyFans star announced her retirement.
Only you would know this.
Her name is Christina. I don't know how her last name is.
Does it matter? Does it matter what her last name is?
She's a gorgeous blonde, and it was revealed, Carl, that over the last 3 years, she's made $67 million.
She worked for 3 years. 3 years and calling it quits in life.
$67 million.
Sorry, I'm raising my hand. I got questions.
Yeah.
What did she do?
Pictures and videos.
That's it?
All of it.
And you sign up for memberships and you get exclusive content. It's OnlyFans. You know what OnlyFans is.
Well, I've heard.
Imagine you know of it. You know of it.
I'm not that familiar. Say again, Owen. What?
Imagine
Say
being it. Set for your entire life, only
for
having
3 years?
Worked 3 years.
Yeah, well,
3 years.
A lot of NBA guys know what that's like. There's a lot of cats walking around in the NBA.
Carl's got a I won't say it over there, but Carl has a specific name in mind. I'll leave it at that.
No, that is nuts. I did not know that. I had no idea who she was until you just told me. I don't know if anybody would know. That's a hell of a trivia question. But so she retired.
She retired.
How do you retire from OnlyFans?
Well, she feels like she's banked enough money. She doesn't need to do another.
Yeah, whatever.
No more photos being
you know
sent.
What? And whatever until like she opens that video up again and goes, "Boys, I'm back."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now my exclusive channel with my here's my sister. And then it's triple digits. She's bringing in 12 figures a year.
If you're an OnlyFans girl model, like how often, like what's your work schedule during the week? You're not clocking
whatever
40 hours.
No, it's whatever you want. I mean, hell, it could be midnight to 2 a.m.
But here's the thing, though. When you pay for the premium access, you get premium video. Like you just can't record one video and send it out to all your fans.
You have to get
you
got to
do personal with names.
You just change the name. It's cut
with
and paste.
Personal requests.
Oh, so she was really working.
Yeah, yeah. You got to like in the
So she was really working. Who's next? Jeff.
Yeah.
Where's Jeff? Yeah. Indianapolis. Okay. Yeah. Hold on. Jeff in Indianapolis. That's how she.
And he requested me to wear a red flannel. Okay. I don't know why, but we're gonna put So she has to do all that. Not that it's mining coal, but we're milling steel, but it's...
I mean, if she was pulling in that kind of bread, she probably had some assistance, my guess is.
And then the other part is it's like, send me underwear for, like, you know, $500 a pair.
Hey, yeah. Now, hey now, hey now.
Yeah, well, just, that's part of the gig.
Yeah, well, again, Turtle, you're hipping me to something.
Yeah,
that
there's
I,
a whole there's an
with.
Entire there's an entire economy behind this stuff, Carl, and there's a lot of men out there that are paying a lot of money for it.
Obviously,
the last half hour,
million?
This show has gone off the rails completely.
Well, you could say that it started with an F bomb. All right, coming up, Falcon Report is on the way. It's Dukes and Bell live at State Farm Arena.